Morning, church. Welcome to St. John's Live. Really happy to have you joining us over the internet this morning. A couple things to bring to your attention for those of you who are here in the valley with us. On Saturday, September 19th, 8:30 to 4, we have a Habitat for Humanity work day. We are in that final phase of the Grove project, and Habitat needs a few extra helpers. So if you can swing a hammer or help out around the job site, we would love to have you Saturday, September 19th, 8:30 to 4. And then the following Tuesday, September 22nd, we'll host a blood drive here at St. John's. It's 11 to 5 in partnership with the American Red Cross. We're looking for a couple extra volunteers who might help just with the administration and logistics of the day. So if you have some time and the desire to be in community, of course, from behind a mask and safely distance one from another, we would love to have a little extra help. Both of those, both the Habitat for Humanity Workday and the blood drive, you can sign up by reaching out to Liz in the office or emailing her, liz@stjohnsjackson.org. I think that's all for announcements this morning. So after the ringing of a bell and a moment of quiet, we'll begin our worship. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole, so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. A reading from Romans. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak ones eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or your sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's say the portion of the psalm together in unison. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy,
slow to anger, and of great kindness. He will not always accuse us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. As a father cares for his children, so does the Lord care for those who fear him.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him his debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then this fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Mercy. So last week, Jimmy, you talked about Jesus' business plan, basically, mm-hmm. for the kingdom, and that the operating model for that business plan was mercy, mm-hmm. right? And today, Jesus is sort of doubling down on mercy. And we hear this story about the king and the slave, and I think I want to look a little more deeply at mercy and forgiveness, and they're used interchangeably, and yet in my mind there is a difference. Mercy to me is like grace, and really simplistically, mercy is giving, not inflicting a punishment on somebody that they are that they have earned, right, that they deserve. And grace is the giving of a gift that they have not earned. So both of them, it is a giving or a taking away of something that somebody has not done anything one way or the other to deserve, right? Does that? Very simplistically. And I think that mercy is very powerful, but there's a sense for me in this story that mercy has a certain power dynamic attached to it. You have the king who forgives the debt of the slave because he pleads with him, and so he says, okay, go, and I'll forgive your debt. And then the slave, his fellow slave, comes to him and says, I can't pay my debt to you. And that slave chooses not to forgive, right? Not to forgive the debt. And so he sends him to prison. And so there's a sense, though, that as the story unfolds, the people see this happening and they say, wait a minute, that's not fair. That's not just. The way that you treated this slave is not just compared to how you have been treated, right? And there's that sense of, just an injustice in that, and people are angry. And the king comes back and he takes back that mercy, which is kind of an interesting concept. He takes it back and he's angry. Peter, when he goes to Jesus, is feeling personally hurt by somebody.
Something there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he says, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive? And Jesus says, just seven times? Says, no, not seven times. And this is translated in two different ways, and you see it. Sometimes it is you need to forgive 77 times, and sometimes it's seven times 70. Mm-hmm. Either time, it's kind of a God number of times that you need to forgive somebody. Right. And it goes back to Ephesians 4:32, I think, that says, treat each other with compassion and then forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Mm-hmm. And we are being asked to forgive in that way that seems sometimes beyond our capacity as human beings to forgive. And that forgiveness feels very different from what the king did to the slave, or what the slave didn't do to the other slave, because there is that sense in that mercy is what I would think of as maybe judicial mercy. It is power over and the ability to give, whereas the forgiveness that Peter is asked to do is very personal, and his heart is engaged. And in order to forgive, you have to let go of the hurt and the anger and the disappointment. And it is freeing to not just the person who's been given the mercy or the forgiveness, but also to the person who has forgiven. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
A really silly example, but it came to me this morning because it happened. A few years ago, there was a teacher that I had felt wronged my daughter. And I went and talked to her, but I decided not to escalate or go to the principal or anything like that. So I gave her mercy in some sense. And yet this morning when I started thinking about it, this anger bubbled up inside me that was palpable. I was like, okay, I haven't forgiven, right? So that's a very different experience.
Okay, I see the distinction you're making. Yeah.
So I think that they are related and they are interconnected, but giving mercy without forgiveness maybe lets the other person off the hook, but doesn't free you personally. Or doesn't all, unless you can let go of that, what it is that is at the heart of that. And then I started thinking about this all in the context of what does mercy mean, like it is in the end of this story, in an unjust world. So judicial justice, sometimes we grant mercy in order to right the balance, perhaps. Often we don't. Justice is not meted out equally in our society. I don't know that it is fair. I struggle with the idea of asking people who have been wronged societally, systemically, historically, to forgive. Mm. And yet that's what needs to happen for people to be free from the hurt.
You know, both, you mean both the victim and the perpetrator.
Yes.
Right.
And it's, at some level, it is that forgiveness, heart forgiveness of the victim that free, that that allows that freedom. Mm-hmm. And so even it's very complicated as I think through this. And as I said before we started this today, I think I came away with more questions this week than answers. And I'm sort of sorting through all this as I work my way through the scripture. That there is, and even in our prayer, it says mercy and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And those are interrelated, and they're so important that we do both. And they both have a role, but they are, we can have mercy without forgiveness, but probably not forgiveness without mercy, or exactly how that all plays together. So I just wanted to put that out there and ask for your thoughts. And I specifically, Brian, when you were talking about mercy that has been given to you last week, and this may be too personal, so don't answer if you don't want to, but is that a sense of having been forgiven? Or is that a
great
sense
question? I had never really thought of it in those terms, but yes, I think I have definitely been forgiven for things that I didn't deserve to be forgiven for. No question about it. I have been amazed by the generosity of people who were willing to do that. And I mean, as I was listening to you, Mary, what kept coming back to me is how hard forgiving another is when you have truly been wronged. Because there are times when we are treated unjustly, unfairly, unkindly. And I know that it's vital to be able to forgive, but boy, does it take some work sometimes. It's not an easy turn internally to, I can pay a lot of lip service to forgiveness. Oh yeah, and I love your example of the teacher who wronged Adele. Because sure, you showed her mercy, and I bet you even thought you had forgiven her.
Yeah.
At one point, and then here it comes. Here it comes again. Oh, there you are, right? So.
But there's a point at which you cannot really move on and grow and be healthy until you've let go of some of those. I mean, especially the really deep wounds, right?
Totally
agree.
And
that's a process. And maybe that is mercy. Maybe I'm splitting it too finely. But there is that sense of sort of a mercy that's a power dynamic and a mercy that's very personal. And those feel different.
I'm going to say one more thing and then I'll let you go, Jimmy. Because as when you said that, I mean, I believe that one can show mercy without forgiving another mm-hmm. person, right? But it's not merciful to yourself to do that. You're not showing yourself the same mercy that you're giving someone else. If I can't find a way to come to some degree of forgiveness, then it's going to eat me up, mm-hmm. even if it sort of, as you said, lets them off the hook.
It's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I think for me, the way I'm looking at this, and I appreciate that that tension between the concept of mercy and forgiveness, and they are being used interchangeably both in the biblical narrative but also in our liturgical practice mm, as
well.
Right. I think for me, and why I chose last week to use that term operating model, mm-hmm. and to put out there that mercy is the operating model of the kingdom, is that it's not transactional, mm-hmm. and it's more about an orientation to the world rather than an opportunity or a missed opportunity. It's how am I embodying this merciful approach to living? And that's where I think, you know, Jesus corrects Peter. Mm-hmm. Peter says, like, how many times? Like, mm-hmm. is it once? Is it twice? Is it three times? Because this is driving me crazy.
Right.
And he says, it's not once or twice or three times, it's infinity. He, you know, there's that play on words there where he's like, it's not a transaction, Peter. Mm-hmm. It's a way of living. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of orienting our hearts and our minds mm-hmm. to the world that include our human interaction. And that's why I think it pops up in that, it's after we declare God's identity, the very next thing we do in worship is that collect of purity. I mean, in our liturgy today, we have that retranslated version of it because we're having fun during COVID and we're playing with different things. But it's there Sunday after Sunday for the last 540 years because that's the thing that we need to reorient toward every time we are coming into the kingdom. It's that merciful perspective that we engage. And so when I think about mercy, I think like, okay, it's all mercy all the time. And when I think about forgiveness, to you know, create the tension between the two again, I do believe that it's somewhat transactional, that there's a process that we can follow and that there's steps that need to follow. And I think your example of the teacher and Adele is a good one in the sense of, you know, if someone came to me seeking my counsel around mercy and forgiveness, I'd be like, you know, don't start where someone's wronged your kid.
Right.
Like, start with, like, you know, the guy who made the gesture at Loaf and Jug when right. you were filling up or something.
Stole my parking place.
Right, yeah. Because that's, you know, welcome to the NFL, right? God, I keep using sports metaphors all during COVID. I'm sorry. But it's one of those things where there could be some work that we do. And I think the work that we do around forgiveness, whether it is less formalized work in doing relationship repair with mm-hmm. people that we know and love or family members that we know and love, or it's quite specific and liturgically oriented like it is in the reconciliation of the penitent or mm-hmm. the sacramental rite of confession that we have in the prayer book, I feel like all that work leads us toward that orientation of all mercy all the time. Mm-hmm. And so the story that Jesus tells, I think it's somewhat shocking, and it's meant to be shocking, because here he is, and there's so much momentum in the story right now of this peaceable kingdom and this circle that should be unbroken, and we live under the shelter of each other, and it's like, and this one owed him so much. He owed him so much that it was going to cost him everything, including his family. And the king says, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. We're going to let it pass. Mm-hmm. And then our great expectation is that marching right behind
right,
that,
exactly right.
he has this opportunity, and we know he's going to say, like, man, it's only 100 denarii. Don't worry about it. High five me. You have no idea what I have just experienced. And he doesn't. And you're like, wait,
right.
what's going on? What is... So I think it's meant to be shocking. Of like, no, that's, you know, that's not it. Mm-hmm. That's not it.
Well, and that is the reaction of the people. The people are like, wait a minute, that's not okay. This is not... but there's a justice issue in there too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, go ahead. Sorry, jumped in there.
No, I mean, I'm just... You know, I think that the reorientation here is that we see justice through the perspective of mercy or love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I'm struggling with now in a divided culture, no matter which side we live on, that division is not kingdom oriented.
No.
And so rather than saying like, that difference is puzzling to me because I don't see it that way, I wonder what it is about Brian's experience mm-hmm. that leads him to make the conclusion that he's making. Like, that's a merciful approach to difference, or even a justice issue could be significant, you know, cultural. Or, you know, the other alternative, not through the lens of mercy, is just like, well, he's wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or one of us is, and I'm pretty darn sure it's Brian.
Right. Well, I think that's exactly right. When you look through that merciful lens, I love the idea of it being the operating model. I mean, I think that is absolutely correct, and it's one of the things that we have to offer the world.
Yes.
And we don't always do it well, but we try. The offering is to be able to show that compassion and to hear, you know, what's behind that thing that separates us, what's really going on with Brian mm-hmm. and you. Even if I don't agree with the two of you, like, what's beneath that, and how do we connect at that and show compassion and mercy for one another through that difference? And that is something that is so desperately needed in this time.
And we've kind of all fallen off the mercy wagon, right? And we need some people to drag us back on. And I think about that story, you know, the story would be so different if, you know, that slave who's forgiven by the king is standing next to his best friend who has the mercy, and then here comes the guy like, oh my gosh, I owe you 100 denarii. He's like, you gotta pay me right now. And then like that merciful friend's like, no, come on, he doesn't mean that, forget that. He just like, he's confused, like, and just pull us away.
Right.
You know, gently reorient us. Mm-hmm. In a loving way to the mercy that has been extended to us. And I don't think it's quid pro quo that's happening.
No.
It's just that it's infinity. It's not seven times, it's 77, it's seven times 70. It's as many numbers that you can count. Right. It's the way that we are in the world.
Right, and that's, yes, that operating model is because that is how we exist. That is what is driving how we are, how we behave in the world, and what, how we see every interaction. And we are, you know, missing a lot of mercy. But I do think there is, again, that deeper piece of it, which is about, and I see, we hear what you're saying about forgiveness being more transactional, but it also is transformational of
absolutely
of the relationship. Yeah. And even if that teacher doesn't know I'm still angry at her, it's still out there.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And so my letting go of that anger frees something up.
Yeah, there's some work for you to do.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the work within us all, right?
Right.
We have all experienced some measure of that. I mean, my gosh, in advocating for Jas in the public school system for his special needs, mm-hmm. More so in California than here in Wyoming, but woo, I've got some scars there. And along with those scars are some baggage. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a trailer full of baggage.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
And it's taken wonderful, merciful people who from time to time have put that hand on my shoulder and said, like, it's all gonna be there. Everything you need, there will be enough, mm-hmm. and probably quite likely more.
Mm-hmm. You can say something, Brian.
Oh, I was gonna say I also love just how Jesus fully acknowledges what fallible human beings we are here too, right? in this story. The slave gets treated so fairly and then turns around and treats the other guy with no mercy, no compassion. And the whole idea that, you know, I don't believe that Peter is asking, how many times do I have to forgive different wrongs,
right,
that are done to
the
me?
Same one.
It's the same one.
Exactly.
And
keeps happening.
And Jesus is kind of acknowledging there that, man, even if you forgive once, it might be circling back on you when you least expect, mm-hmm. it, right? And then you forgive again and again and again.
You know, the whole story, not just this story, the whole Jesus story would be so much less effective if everyone got the message the first time, right?
That's like, a good point. Yeah.
It'd be a really short story. It wouldn't have the impact. It is
Here's
watching
how it is.
People
Love your
make
yourself.
The mistakes yeah. and screw up and make, you know, that teaches us.
Yeah, that's what makes it so alive.
Exactly.
And so true to life.
Mm-hmm. So human.
You know, I was thinking about practical application of this, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. homework orientation. Mm-hmm. Can I suggest one?
Sure.
So last week we sort of oriented people toward, like, you're on that mercy road. Mm-hmm. You're either traveling in the direction of receiving or traveling in the direction of giving. Do it. I wonder, is as we talk about this, mercy being an orientation or mm-hmm. a lens, a way of being, mm-hmm. if we might just encourage ourselves and those who are watching to try to spend a merciful day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, out of the next 6 days that you have.
I guess I'll have to start tomorrow because I've already failed today.
Me too. Yeah, so
they
maybe
take 6 days to get there. But
I mean, failure is always an option in the yeah, kingdom, right? Because we live under the umbrella of mercy.
Yeah.
So,
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right.
Amen.
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 Keep us apart. I will. I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew. Well, I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be if I found I can fly. Oh, I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea, and I'd sing, 'cause I know, yeah, I'd sing, 'cause I know.
Please join me in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, she is worshipped and glorified. She has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Roxanne, Ken, Betsy, Mark, Eric, for Paul, Carol, Rebecca, Shelley, Holly, Stan, Mari, for Megan, Melissa, Gail, Amy, Robin, for Ernie and Francis, Anne Marie, Ned, Bonnie, Julie, Mary, for Sue, John, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Rob, for Emily and John, Kelly, Sue, Susie, Stefan, Dee Dee, Mary, Thomas, for Nikki, Kim, Tim, Jay, John, Jean, Cindy, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy in compassion and unity. That we may find new ways to connect and love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays, Christopher, Cindy, Harry, Stuart, Tony, Jake, Patrick, Jack, Doyen, Rick, Annie, Peter, Jane, Fred, Elizabeth, Andy, Robin, Sarah, Shelley, Alice, John, Stuart, Rob, and those celebrating anniversaries, Brad and Robbie, Lonnie and Michelle, Winslow and Andrea, Mike and Louette, Chip and Courtney, Bob and Julie, Sean and Jill, Darren and Tristan, Chris and Jude, David and Lenore, Hayden and Samantha, Butch and Linda. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds. That we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, giver of every good gift, look graciously on your church, and so guide the minds of those who shall choose a bishop for this diocese, that we may receive a faithful pastor who will care for your people and equip us for our ministries. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people, and the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
A prayer for healing. God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see in this moment the pain and suffering our sisters and brothers are subjected to. And give us the will to right the wrongs we have done by our actions and our inactions. Ease the pain of all your people. Help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear. And lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your spirit among us, that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world.
Amen.
Amen. And let's say the prayer for communion together. God of love,
We thank you for bringing us together in this place, on this day, to honor and to celebrate you and your people, the living, loving body of Christ. Jesus told his disciples,
"Whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them.
Bless this gathering as a sacramental rite,
a visible sign of your love for us and our love for one another.
Even in the absence of the bread and the wine, let us feed on you, your Son, Jesus Christ,
and the Holy Spirit,
in our hearts with faith and thanksgiving.
Amen."
May our hearts feel the song of the meadow lark, our minds the clearness of the mountain air, and our souls the freedom of the soaring eagle. May our faith be renewed as the creek in spring. May we celebrate the saving redemption of the cross in all its mysteries. May we always feel the love of the community of Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.